Davis is probably lying, and Greta Garbo is probably crying, while Robert Taylor is locked in her dying embrace. Chico and Groucho and Chaplin and Lloyd are all super. Sweet Mickey Mouse, Shirley Temple, and dear Jackie.
Let's go to the movies. Let's go see the stars. I'm joined in studio by our resident movie reviewer, Big Kev, Mr. Kevin Suarez. Kev, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Now, we've got a couple of films we're looking at this week, both fairly big name films, I suppose you might say. What are we looking at?
So we're looking at Suburbicon and Thor Ragnarok.
Let's start with Suburbicon, because I can't say I know a great deal about this film, although I know it is one of the big releases this week. What exactly is this one about?
So it's set in the 1950s. It's a film directed by, of all people, George Clooney, although he doesn't appear in it. And it's set in the 1950s with a family where the dad is being harassed by the mafia. And so it's sort of contrasting the whole 1950s perfect Americana feel with someone who's got a bit of a dark history.
Okay. Now, I must say, that sounds to me like something that's been done a little bit before. I mean, America kind of has this obsession with the picture-perfect pastels of the 1950s, and I have seen it subverted, I would say, in quite a number of films. What did you think of the approach?
I feel that they also tried to subvert that approach here, but it failed categorically in every single level. It just didn't work at all. I don't know what the script writers were smoking when they thought up of the script. It just didn't work at all. For starters, for some reason, about a third of the way through the film, everyone started going from acting fairly reasonably and rationally to completely losing their minds. They started doing things that I never could have, if I was in that position, that I never would have considered doing. For example, they started trying to be as awful as they could to each other, even when... I'm being a bit vague because I suppose there's spoilers ahead, but it just... all the characters would... try and be awful. Like, for example, when the main character played by Matt Damon, when he finally gets behind the glass at a police station and is supposed to pick out two people from a lineup, instead of saying, yes, those two people broke into my house and so on, he says, no, that's not them. And so on. He tries to hide the fact that he's being harassed by the mafia from the police and from his own family. And even though it's supposed to try and play it as like a black comedy, none of these characters were likable even remotely, because they would start like slowly losing their minds until they started becoming like psychopaths or sociopaths. And I just couldn't get into the movie at all.
Now, this is rather interesting. You mentioned the script writing there, because this script was written by the Coen brothers. And by and large, the writing and direction from the two brothers is generally fairly well received. So where has it fallen down?
I would say halfway through. I think they may have had a good idea, but I think perhaps George Clooney, who was directing the film, may have let them down, because it seems that halfway through the film, he completely foregoed the whole 1950s approach, the whole, contrasting the life in a perfect suburbia with, you know, someone who's got a dark history. And not only that, but there was this subplot where one of the... neighbors of the family was actually being harassed by the other neighbors because they were African-American and the other neighbors didn't want them in the neighborhood. And to be honest, that subplot didn't work either. I've seen a lot of films, especially black comedies, that try and take a more historical approach and make it more modern for a modern audience, but this one had, it wasn't relevant to the main plot with Matt at all, and they didn't actually go anywhere. For the whole film, that little subplot stayed the exact same, with people harassing them and having the house under siege. That was it. That was the whole story right there. And it didn't go anywhere, and it had no relevance to the plot, and I didn't really enjoy it at all. I thought it was a bit of filler for the film, for the main plot.
Now let's move on to Thor Ragnarok. I must admit, this is one I'm quite looking forward to seeing. You've actually run out and seen this one just this morning. What did we think?
I thought it was fantastic. I thought in terms of comedies where Suburbicon does it really badly, Thor Ragnarok did it excellently. The main reason why I was so I really enjoyed this film wasn't just because it was a superhero film and they're a bit of a guilty pleasure of mine, but because of who directed it, a certain Taika Waititi.
Yeah, Taika Waititi, he's done some fantastic work in Hunt for the Wilder People.
And What We Do in the Shadows.
I am a huge fan of What We Do in the Shadows. I must admit, when I first heard he was announced to direct, I thought, well, this is a slightly unusual choice for a superhero film. And they have indicated they've gone with a slightly more comedic slant than, I guess, some of the other superhero films that are out there at the moment. Did that approach work?
Well, I think it's a gambit at Marvel that paid off excellently, because they've got a track record of getting the most unusual directors. For example, they got the Arrested Development directors for Captain America, and they also got like a guy famous for Shakespeare doing one of the previous Thors. And I think it worked here because the first two Thors were kind of a bit dull. They didn't really seem to go anywhere. They seemed to be the usual superhero save the world sort of thing. And they didn't really make Thor interesting at all. Mm-hmm. When Taika wanted to bring out the comedic side, especially since Chris Hemsworth now has a history doing comedy films. And I was really excited because I'd seen Taika Waititi's work, and this film is classic Taika Waititi. Like, it's got all of his hallmarks in the film, some of the previous actors that he's worked with, and a lot of the directorial choices I could see getting, and some of the ideas I could see getting lifted from some of his previous movies. And not only that, but the visuals, now that he's got a bigger budget to play with, he has these amazing ideas, which I'm not going to spoil, obviously. I'm not the project. And so, like, there are a lot of enjoyable things about the film. I can't really think of one thing that let the film down, really, because it was funny. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot more fun than the previous two Thor films mm-hmm. and his previous appearances. So definitely, if you're a fan of his work, go watch it. If you like superhero films or action films, definitely it's a go watch.
Well, I will just ask you, since there isn't much to unpack out of that, then it was fantastic. What do you think of its place in the larger Marvel universe in terms of everything else they've been doing at the moment?
I think it's on the top end of the Marvel films. They've got many cameos from some of the previous superheroes that came in to assist Thor throughout this film. Other than that, it had a more comedic approach, which was much better, like sort of like Guardians of the Galaxy, which made that movie also very popular this year and in 2014 as well. And I think this is maybe one of the films that more people would be more interested in watching. Like, taking a comedic approach, more people, I think, would be more receptive to that sort of film than the more serious films that didn't really work so much.
All right, well, Suburbicon is maybe give this one a miss, leave it back in the 1950s where it belongs. But Thor Ragnarok, by the sound of things, two great big thumbs up from Kev. Big Kev, thank you very much.
You're welcome.